Where do you fit into this world? That's the question we're asking this fall as we begin a new series called You Belong. And we're going to engage in the big questions that are asked by our kids and by our students. And those big three questions are, your young kids ask, who am I? And our middle schoolers ask, who accepts me? And our high schoolers are asking, do I matter? Thank you. But the thing, even though they're asking those questions, it's not just the kids, right? Those are questions that we all ask ourselves over and over again. Who am I? Whose am I? And why am I here? So when you come next week, we're going to hand out a talk it over sheet, notes that you can have for more conversation. You can engage with a small group or a spouse or a friend or your family or get a hold of somebody else that you just want to have a little conversation about so we can ask those questions that we all need answers for. These are questions that the whole church needs to answer together as the community, as we discover God's design for you. And my hope is that each of you will discover your fit, find your place that will help you flourish in who you are. And that brings us to our message today, Kickoff Sunday, and it is about getting planted. Getting planted. Are you ready to see some good in the world? Right? We all want to see things change. We want to see lives mended. We want to see hurting people helped. We want peace to overcome the chaos that we see all around us. But it doesn't always happen just because we hope it will. If you want to see good in the world, then you're going to have to get planted. I'm borrowing today from a Craig Rochelle message that deeply resonated with me as I think about where we're starting or where we are as a church this fall. And I can't think of a better place to begin as we launch out on this Belong series in order to really thrive as followers of Jesus, as our survey is talking about, then we need to receive all that God has in store for us, right? All the blessings that God has. And the title, by the way, of Craig Rochelle's message is this. Are you ready? Stop going to church. That's not actually what I'm telling you to do, okay? I'm really glad that you're all here, and I'm pretty sure that's what Greg Groeschel's actually not saying either. There's something better than going to church, and it's actually what you and I have been saying right here for years. That's what we've said all along at Bethlehem, because who is the church? We are the church. It's not about just going to church. It is actually about being the church. You are the church, and you know that it's about far more than sitting on a seat on Sunday morning. So if you've been attending for a while, and you are actually waiting to find that place where you can fit in, where you can plug in, if you haven't found that yet, or you don't feel like you're really thriving the way that you know God has called you to in the greatest sense possible, then like Pastor Groeschel says, you probably don't really need to attend more Sunday church services. You need something better. You need to get planted. Psalm 92 that we heard earlier, it's all about getting planted. And I really believe that if you hear this today and you put this into practice, Psalm 92, if you get planted in the way that the psalm is talking about, that your life is about to change. We're going to focus on two words today. One, planted, the other is flourish. And that's all about growing. When I grew up, going to church was a thing that I did every Sunday. My family just did that. There were six kids in the family. We grew up on the farm, which meant that there was a whole bunch of chores to do before everybody went off to church. And as I was a teenager, then the animals that we raised were pigs. And if anybody has smelled a pig, then you know that a shower was required before going to church. So we all had to get up, feed the animals, take showers, get ready, pile into the car. So we piled into the big old Chrysler that had two bench seats. Eight of us piled in. Dad was driving, and he would be shaving on the way with his electric razor, cigarette in the other hand, driving with his elbows, speeding to get there before, you know, the church service started. We usually made it. So I think my parents, they were pretty devoted, you know, to be like that. Some of you probably have a similar experience this morning, getting ready for church. Let me just say, I'm glad that you are here this morning. I'm glad that you've chosen to be part of what this is all about. For others of you, that might sound nuts, that you know, what we did back then. And looking back, it kind of was. And it was what we did. We went to church every Sunday. Funny thing is that when Cheryl and I had our own kids, we did exactly the same thing. We got everybody up. Often, Cheryl got up earlier than everybody and took off 35 miles to go to the church that we attended because she was on the worship, led worship there. And then I would pack up the rest of the kids and follow behind a little later. And I would usually get there on time. The only difference for me was that when I was a kid, I went to church because that's what we did. I was going to church. But when I was taking my kids, I had a far deeper reason. But in between, there was a season when I didn't go at all. And it wasn't because I didn't have any kids then, because we did. I didn't go because I had become disillusioned with going to church. I didn't see the point of sitting through a worship service that I didn't really feel like I got much out of. And here's the point, I think, that Craig Groeschel is making when he says, stop going to church. God's highest calling for you has never been to go to church. It's something far more than that. God's plan for you is to flourish. It's to thrive. And you're here today going to church, and I hope you're here because you want to do that. You want to thrive. You want to flourish. And for some of us, that idea that flourishing might be a new word, and you're not sure what it means, so let's unpack it a little bit. I think about Border West football team this week. The team has, when the team has the right coaching, when they are committed, when they have conditioned players, when the field conditions are right, and the team that they're playing against is well-matched, and the weather is beautiful, they have everything they need to reach their highest potential. They're positioned to leave it all on the field. And when that happens, like it seems like it did on Friday night, I mean, I think they played a great game. They thrive. They flourish. They play the way they're intended and grow in the process. I think the Bucks showed up to play. Flourishing means to prosper. It means to grow. It means to experience abundance. It's like having all the really important things in life go well. When you're flourishing, all the right things are coming together so that you can reach your fullest potential. And the psalmist implied that to flourish in the house of the Lord means that you experience your fullest potential as a follower of Jesus. So you are thriving in the big three. Those big three are faith. You know, your faith is growing, it's maturing. Your hope is solidly placed and rock solid. Your love abounds, to you and through you, to those around you. Your life is actually making a difference in the lives of those who know you. They're better because of you. The people around you are experiencing healing and healthy relationships. Sometimes, even when things don't go as you had envisioned, even when they don't go as you had wanted, you are still flourishing. You belong. And you have a purpose, and you have meaning, and you have impact. Your family is strong and being nurtured and cared for. Your faith is growing. You're prospering in all that you do. Even your community around you is benefiting. You're flourishing. I like to say that when you are flourishing, you have found your fit, and you are thriving in it. God doesn't want you to get by. God doesn't want you just to go to church and fill a seat on Sunday morning. God wants you to thrive. Maybe for someone here today, that's all you needed to hear. I mean, you can check out with that point, just knowing that God wants you to thrive. The picture in Psalm 92 is of two trees. One is a cedar and one is a palm. kind of the idea here is because of their close proximity to the temple, which represented the presence of God, the righteousness of God, the house of God, because of that, they are strong and they are always green. So a cedar, it's a kind of pine tree. You know, we know it from cedar benches. It smells good. But more than that, it's strong and it's sturdy and it's used for building because of that strength. It's a prized wood. So the cedar is strength, and the palm tree, it grows green forever. It's in a favorable climate, and the palm represents royalty and triumph. When Jesus came into Jerusalem before Easter, we call it the triumphal entry because people laid down palm branches in front of him, representing that. He was royalty, he was the king, he was the coming Messiah. So the trees in the psalm, they're flourishing. They are representing of strength and victory, and they're green in every season. They're producing life and growing and increasing. So the psalm goes on. He said, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. So even when they're old, they still bear fruit. They don't wither. They don't die. They just keep on producing and keep on producing and keep on producing. Many of you that rated the church, right, in the pH check is thriving and healthy, and I believe it's because many of you are those cedars. You are those palm trees. And for some of you, even in old age, you continue to bear much fruit. You're good trees. Turn around to somebody beside you and say, you're a good tree. You're a good tree. I bet you didn't expect to be called a tree when you came this morning. But unfortunately, there's a lot of good trees. But unfortunately, we don't have to go far to find people who aren't experiencing flourishing. You know, instead of flourishing, they're feeling spiritually dry. Instead of thriving, they are dwindling emotionally or relationally. Instead of connecting, they are more and more isolated. Instead of prospering, they are financially distressed. Or instead of being fulfilled, they're searching for something more that they just can't find. Friends, life, your life, is a seed of potential. A seed of potential. In it is the potential for growth, for multiplying, for thriving, for good fruit. That's what God intends. But if it's never planted, it only remains one seed. It's unfulfilled potential. It's unfruitful, inactive, unproductive. The truth is, in order to flourish like the cedar and the pine, you have to be what? Planted. You have to be planted. For the seed to grow, it has to be planted. So the psalmist says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. So how do you get planted? Well, the parable of Jesus, the sower or the planter, I think it reveals some insight. It really is about the condition of the soil. So a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. The birds came, ate it up. It didn't get planted, right? It never got there. It just went out and then got eaten up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. The roots didn't grow down. They didn't go deep. There was nothing there. They withered away. So other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. You know, life's busyness came on and all those important things that really make life just kind of got pushed to the side. And still other seed fell on good soil. Fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. It thrived because it was in good soil. You need good soil. The psalmist says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. See, going to church isn't the same as being planted. Just going to church isn't necessarily good soil. I mean, it's a good place to be, I think. You know, the key here is good soil. The year, I think this year the illustration might change a little bit, right? It would be the seed was planted in a low spot in the field. The rains came and continued to come, and the seed drowned it out. Then there was the seed that was in the good soil. It was on a little higher ground. It was well drained and tiled, and that seed began to flourish. So if going to church isn't filling a felt need, then you might be planted in the low ground. You'll sprout. You'll probably grow a little bit, but the wet soil will eventually drown out. Eventually, you'll drift away. You might find yourself wondering if going to church is really worth it. You may even drift in and out and never really get connected. But if you are the church, that's something totally different. Now it's not something you do, it's something you are. Going to church isn't something that you think about, it's something that you automatically do because it's something that you are. Church is not something, you grow and you serve and you connect and you get sent out and you come back and you invest your time and you invest your money, you invest your resources in the mission because the mission of God is your mission. And your life and purpose are part of God's life and purpose. And when you find your fit in the body of Christ, that gives you the greatest purpose and the greatest meaning, and that is fulfilled, and you are reaching that full spiritual potential that God intends for your life. In other words, you are flourishing. And it all takes time. It doesn't happen immediately. This is a long process. Growing doesn't happen overnight. In a few years, you notice that things are starting to change. You're growing spiritually. You're not dry, but you actually feel alive. You experience God's presence, not just in church and worship, but all over, wherever you are, because you know God is with you. You experience victory and joy and passion and peace in your life. Your marriage is a little better. Your finances start to tick up. You can say that you are actually blessed. Life's not perfect. You're still going to face trials, but even in the midst of those, you are flourishing in the house of the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah, he writes that when you're planted, your roots go down. They'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It doesn't matter what comes your way, because your roots are always in that good soil where the water is fresh and clean and you are bearing fruit. I saw one of the wonders of the world, and that is the big trees that are out in California, the giant sequoias or redwoods. And in one of these parks, those trees can reach 325 feet high. That's amazing, isn't it? And 33 feet wide, so you know, like two-thirds of the sanctuary here, wide, a tree, a stump. And I stood beside one of those and looked up, and you can almost get the image here, but you just can't do it. You can't like bend over far enough to actually see the top of it without falling over. You have to lean on Cheryl. So some of these trees, they're much closer together than you would think. It's like, how does that work? But you know, the roots of these trees go out laterally. They go out for about 100 feet. And when they're that close together, you know what happens, right? The roots begin to overlay and they begin to overlap and interconnect with one another. And these trees don't actually go very deep with their roots, not at all. I mean, like a dozen feet, some of them. But they go out far and wide and they support each other. So these biggest trees in the world, they only get that way because of each other. They need each other to thrive. We know how that works, right? With the big sequoias. So how does that work with you? In the life groups this week called Life in Flux, we have a lesson that says, don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. It gives some startling data. It says, according to the Surgeon General's office, loneliness is killing us. Loneliness. From the book Falling Upwards, we get these stark reminders. The toll of loneliness, it says, it's far more than a bad feeling. It's associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, premature death. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. I thought secondhand smoke was bad. Loneliness will kill you. Experts report that 3 in 5 Americans are lonely, and the highest percentage are in our youngest generation, Generation Z. Loneliness. The bottom line is we need each other. We're hardwired for connection. It's a matter of life. And God knows this, right? God made us. He designed us this way. We need each other. I want to invite you to turn to somebody next to you and say, I need you. I need you. Now turn around to somebody that you don't know as well and say, I need you. Awkward, no. But that's why I'm such a proponent and champion for the church, because we need each other. God knows that. He designed us that way, and he designed us to be the church, where we are together in Christ, where we support one another, where we are interconnected, when it allows each one of us to thrive and flourish to the fullest of our potential, because we have each other. The truth is, every age needs every age, and that's what I love about Bethlehem Covenant Church. It's that we have all ages, right? From toddlers to seniors and everything in between. And it matters. It makes a difference. We need every generation and every age at every stage. I had a spiritual director that he told me that awareness of yourself is 90% of the solution to any issue. Just awareness, being aware of what you're facing. So now that we are aware that we need each other, he said the rest of it is difficult. Meaning, we need each other, but sometimes we're hard to get along with. Have you ever experienced that? Trying to get along with someone? Anybody that you find hard to get along with? You're just smiling. No pointing, that's good. Let me ask you this, are you hard to get along with? Probably. The answer is probably. And yet Christ knew you before the creation of the world. And his plan was for you to be the church together with the rest of us. Christ had you in mind before you clicked online this morning, before you walked in the door at Bethlehem. His plan is for you. His plan is you. So don't just go to church, right? Be the church. The apostle in Hebrews, he said, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as encourage one another as we see the day approaching. So you want your roots to go deep. You know, you can study the Bible. You can pray in your closet. Those are all good things. But to thrive and actually reach your potential, you need to be spurred on by one another. We need to be encouraged and serving together. And that's what it means to be a thriving church. So you can't just go deep, you also have to go wide. So stretch out your hands this way, as far as you can. Chances are you're hitting somebody. be kind. All right? We're interconnected. We need each other. So here's your next step. You need to find your people. You need to find your people. This is a whole lot different than just going and sitting in the pew. You know, I really want to see the church grow. But I don't want to see it grow for the reason of simply having more people in the seats so that we can brag about how great our Sunday worship was. I want the church to grow because I want more and more people to know that deep love of Christ that is shared between us. I want them to, those who are vulnerable to loneliness and isolation, to find friendship, true friendship, and peace and love and hope and to be encouraged. I want more people to find out that they actually belong, that God has called them, that he's called you and them to a mission together that is far greater than each one of us, a mission that fulfills us and calls us to great joy when we see God at work in our lives. I want everyone to experience that and those around us to experience that. So yes, I want the church to grow. I want the church to thrive. I want the church to welcome new people in so they can begin to grow and thrive and our communities are transformed. And we can only thrive when you are the church. For some of you, this is the part of the message that might be hitting home. That for you, maybe you're feeling one of those statistics like isolated and lonely and you desire more than anything just to start thriving again. Maybe you've gone through a really difficult relationship. Maybe you've lost someone close. Maybe you haven't fully recovered from the last 5 years and all that disorientation that we've experienced. Maybe you've gotten so caught up in social media that you forgot what it was like to have a good face-to-face sit-down with someone. You know, the truth is, you and I, we're made for so much more than that. So I think that if that's you today, then awareness is 90% of the solution. The rest is a little bit more difficult. The rest means you need to step out and get planted. Maybe it's the first time you're joining us online, or maybe the first time you have worshiped with us here today. The next step I want to encourage you to is to join a group. Join a life group. Be part of what's happening besides Sunday worship. Like this week on Wednesday night, a big youth party. If you're a youth, a junior high or senior high, make sure you're here, but don't just come alone. Bring your friends. The more the better. If you are a part of the abilities group, you know, it's great. You're here. You're worshiping. You guys are awesome. Bring a friend. It doesn't have to just be you. If you're an adult, we have life groups that are forming, and you can be part of Sunday. You can be part of Wednesday. If you're just needing someone to connect with and just to begin this journey, but you don't want to join a group, then reach out to somebody here, and say, hey, I want to spend a little time together digging into God's Word and praying and having some conversation and connecting. I mean, that could go a long way. And if somebody reaches out to you, please do it. Connect. Meet. We are a thriving church, according to our stats. And it's because we are connecting as followers of Jesus. It's important that you find your people. And the truth is, the church is your people. As a follower of Jesus, God made the church to be your people. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did. He laid down his life. And then he said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's that self-sacrificial, interconnected, loving relationship as the family of God that makes the church thrive. And who's the church? We are the church. You are the church. Like the redwoods that have roots extending out, one holds one, which holds one, which holds one, and all the trees together flourish. You need the church, and the church needs you. This week, get planted, join a group, start growing roots, and be the church. And years from now, you'll look back and say, Sunday, this Sunday in September, was the day I began to flourish. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord, today that light has come to help us understand. You have come to help us understand who we are as your church. Lord, you prayed for us before the beginning of the world to be the church. Lord, you asked the Father to watch over us. You connected us together here at Bethlehem. And Lord, we find ourselves in this place, desiring more than ever to begin to thrive again. And so, Lord, empower us and equip us to join together. Lord, to begin once again to do that 10%, that difficult part of reaching out. And Lord, as we do, may your Spirit flow, may the relationships grow, may maturity continue. And Lord, as we do, may we see more and more people come to know you as Lord and Savior. And I want to talk to anyone who's here today who actually has never taken that first step. If you don't know what it means to be a follower of Jesus, it means this, that Jesus went to the cross for you. He died on your behalf to forgive you of your sin, all the wrong in your life. And because of that, he welcomes you into this family, the family of God. And you do that by faith. It's one step, a commitment to say, Lord Jesus, I believe. If that's where you are today, I want to invite you to that first step, the initial step into the family of God. Please pray with me. Father, I am sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Forgive me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and connect me with your church. Lord, I want to thrive again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.